Okay, Sunday night, the fifth shiur of this of the summer, the fourth shiur of Perek Dalet in Shaar Bitachon, the fourth shiur. Leila Nishmas Chaim Ephraim Ben Nosson. Before we go further, we were talking a lot the last two weeks, about health issues and Bitachon. So the Hashgacha Pratis, of course, I came across, I don't know, right, everybody reads Bina. So they had an article this week about a Center for Women's Health Information. It looks like a very good thing. In Bnei Brak, that they give you aids with health, and they talk, whether it's medical issues or even just diet and exercise and health and blood, and if you're tired or all sorts of things. And they have like a call center. It looked very good. I read it. It's very interesting. And also AIDS's, you know, AIDS's. They don't do diagnosis. They're not doctors. But they women, it's for Haredi women, for firm women, I should say, who they run down. A lot of kids, they work and they run down. So I figure I'll give you the number. We're talking about health. Hishtadlus is a good hishtadlus. All right, you write it down if you want to. You don't have to. It's not homework. So this is Kalas. I came across an article in Bina that there's a call center in Bnei Brak for women health, for health questions. It's called, it's very interesting. It's called, it's information. It's called the Center for Women's Health. The Center for Women's Health Information. And it's for it's focused on frim women who are generally run down, and they have a call center, and they sponsor classes. We should get someone down here to give a class, and they go around speaking about all health related issues, all types of medicine issues, health issues, diet issues, exercise issues.
Specifically for women.
What? Women. I don't know why women. That's what it is. It's women for women.
Oh.
It's that's who started it. The people, the women got together and said, we have to, the from women need a source of information. They have questions, and they made a gemach. Very good. So I said, this is called Hishtadlus. So I'm going to give you the number. Whoever wants the number can write it down. It's in Bnei Brak. It's very interesting. If you get hold of this past week's Bina, this past week, June 30th, yeah, all right, a week ago, right? So the article, it's an article about them. It's very, I found it very interesting. They go around, they go to Kiryat Sefer, they went to Yerushalayim, they give conferences.
Is it English speaking thing?
It must be. If it's in Bina, it must be English speaking. Issues concerning women, like specifically focused on women's issues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 03. Because we were learning about that, and I figured. So someone will say, why is the Rav reading Bina? It's a very good question. So my excuse to my wife is that the Rav has to, now this proves it. This is the answer. Because I have to see, I have to read everything, I have to know what's out there so I could serve my congregants better. So you see what I'm able to give you, because I read Bina. 03-678-7377. 678-7377. If someone wants to get someone here to come lecture, it would be wonderful. It'd be a great thing. Okay, now back to Bitachon. That was enough Hishtadlus for one night. Okay, so we're up to... We're going to start moving again, because... We're up to... If you're using the Sefer I'm using, so we're up to page Kuf Mem Gimel, 8 lines on the bottom. He just went through he has his list, the Chavis Halbab is how to practically apply Bitachon to different issues. So the first issue he deals with is the basic necessities of man, and he says that's the most easiest to be talking about, because Hashem is making you survive, and that's why he went off on his tangent about hishtadlus. And he continues now with other basic necessities. We really covered, I'm going to go very fast, I think, I hope, because we really covered these in all of our talkings and give and take. So, you know, we focused on two sentences, but that's really, he goes on to keep talking about it. And we really, I think, we've been through it already. But I want to learn the Sefer, I'll just go through it quickly. Because till now he talked about life and death and health, so, but it's really this first on the list in how to apply bitachon on a practical level goes on any basic need. You on one hand have to, it's like easy, a no-brainer to have bitachon when it comes to health and when it comes to parnasa, whatever makes you exist. On the other hand, you have to be misasek in hishtadlus. Besivus habrios v'hamozon, parnasa, levush, clothing, mother, a roof over your head. Then he says something fascinating, which, like, v'tikun hamidos. Midos? Like, what's that doing on the list? So he means, you do a double take if you read the Sefer. Like, what is midos? Where does that come in here? So he means a person's basic nature. That's what he means. He means, he really mentioned midos. We read it as tchunos hanefesh in the beginning of the perek. That this is how a person relates to everything that's going on around him. So it's still funny he should put it on the list, but that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about tikkun midos in terms of, like, things that are usur and you have to work on and get better. He's talking, that belongs in his list of how to relate bitachon to spiritual issues, which is much later on the list. Here he's talking about, I think pshat is, a person's basic nature. You know, we're not yet into the area of usur. There are people who are more calm and people who are more tense. People who are more courageous, or people who are more quiet, and people who are more talkative, people who are more sociable, so people who are, that's what he means. So we would use the word tchunos hanefesh, which actually the translator used in the beginning of the parak. And he means, so it's still interesting that he puts it on his list of basic survival, but, you know, that's what a person is. So this is all bidei shemayim. But you have to do your hishtadlus. So in terms of this item on the list, he means that you are what you are, you are who you are. What he would be saying, really, and maybe it's a very healthy approach, he was saying, like, don't, just like Hashem provides you with life, and Hashem has to, so to speak, provide you with basic health and with a roof over your head and with this, and that's a no-brainer for bitachon, because if you believe in Hashem, so he has to provide it. So who you are, like your personality. Oh, your personality is also from Hashem, and he would be implying, I don't want to make a whole speech out of it, I don't want to extrapolate too much into what he's saying, but he would be implying, you know, don't fight it. Have bitachon that this is the personality most suited to you. We look at other people, we say, I wish I was more outgoing like that person is. I wish I was bubbly and effervescent, or I wish I would be more, you know, satisfied with just keeping to myself and being more silent and not being, that's what he means. He's talking about basic personality. So you have to be talking that Hashem gave you an neshama, the personality most suited for it. And then, you know, certainly if you end up doing something osur, if you end up hurting other people, if you end up putting other people down, if you end up being arrogant, if you end up being angry, chaos, if you end up being depressed, so then of course you have to work on your midah. But the way I understand it, if it's on this list, it means there's a basic personality that's who you are.
Some people choose to be arrogant.
Yeah, I'm saying arrogance is a midah ra'ah that you have to change. He's not talking about such things here. Here he's not talking about when you've stepped over the line and you're doing something usur. He's talking about basic personality traits, which if we think about it, you say, Taka, like people are different. Everybody I know is different. And you, so the Chiddush, the Chavis Halov is putting it on the list, would be, he would be then implying, don't fight it. Have bitachon that this is a good way to be. Don't look for greener pastures. You know, sometimes people want to change their whole personality. He would be implying, have bitachon, and it's a no-brainer. This is like, have bitachon that Hashem's going to let you live, have bitachon that Hashem's going to give you basic pranasa, have bitachon that this is a personality that's most suited to you and will help you accomplish whatever it is you have to accomplish in this world. Don't go messing with it, and that's all. Okay. Umanias niskehen, im yidiyasa habrura. So again, you have to juggle your bitachon. If people are more confident, people who are less confident. So you have to do your hishtadlus. Meaning, if your lack of confidence is monea you from living life to its fullest, if it's monea you from accomplishing things, so then your hishtadlus would be to try to work on that, to work on your lack of confidence, whether it's because of low self-esteem, or because you're shy, or because you're afraid of failure, right? There could be many different things going on why a person would shy away from it. So you have to do your hishtadlus. So if you feel it's encroaching on your life, it's not letting you do things. You know, you feel hemmed in, you feel mitzumtzam. So then don't say, oh, Hashem gave me this personality, what should I do? That's the flip side. The flip side is just like you can't keep your store closed and say, Hashem will give me parnasa. So you can't mope and not have friends, let's say. And that affects you and your family life, it affects your relationship with your children, maybe it affects your relationship with, you know, you get like depressed and you want to overcompensate. If you find it staring your life, then hishtadlus kicks in and you have to do something about it. Maybe you have to go even to a mental health professional. I don't know, right? We're all very modern, it's not a dirty word anymore. There's nothing wrong with doing that. I used to tell people when I was on the Bez in Muncie, I said, you could take any car off the road and it needs a tune-up. Could use a tune-up. Probably, I could take any car off the road, even if it just passed inspection a month ago. I could probably take any car off the road and give it an easy $500 worth of work. And that's when the dollar was a dollar. And give it, it needs $500 worth of work. I said, people are the same way. Everybody, because, you know, you're dealing with two people and you're sending them, we would send them to counseling. Yeah, she needs counseling. I don't need counseling. Yeah, right. Okay. So, you know, you have to get them to go without. So, how come I always say him? Usually. That's how it is most of the time. And for better or for worse, that's the reality. So you have to tell them, I told them this, Marshall, like, any car needs a tune-up. Okay? Any person would benefit from a visit. If you have a good, what we call shrink, if you have a good mental health professional, the truth is any person, I'll accept maybe Yechidei Segula, would greatly benefit from it. Every person's walking around with, I believe this, every person's walking around with resentments, with insecurities, with things from their parents laid a guilt trip on them, or they want their parents' approval, or they're rebelling against their parents. Really, it sounds funny, but if Freud and his Talmidim, it's not a bad thing. They opened up the world of the mind, that there's a lot going on, and you can get to it, you can reach it. you could tap into it. Rabbi Sol Salanta, if you go through Rabbi Sol Salanta's forum, they're very, I'm not saying he subscribes to Freud's theories, we're not talking about the specific theories now. I'm talking about the idea that there's a subconscious, the idea that a person is motivated by things that they don't really are not aware of. And it's good to become aware of it. It's good to tap into your inner self, as we call it, right? And become aware of the things that make you act the way you act. It's really good. Like, you could find out that the reason you're short-tempered is because when you were in school, these are real things. I hold of them. I hold any person could use a tune-up and become a more confident person, a more caring person, a person more willing to be mevater. I want to tell over a story. Not a story. My sisters are here for the chasana today, right? I don't know if you met them, but they're here. Two old ladies already, right? Mechaneches is for each of them for 20, 30 years. They teach kids. So they stayed in Eretz Yisrael. They've been in Eretz Yisrael like once in 30 years, once in 40 years, once in 20 years. They're not here. So they decided they're going to go around. They're going to stay here now for a week after the wedding. They're going to go around. So they went this morning to Robertson Kanyevsky. They made an appointment to someone and they went in and they threw at her the following easy question: what's the most important thing we should teach our Talmidos? And she said, Vatranus, to be Mavater, not to stand up for what's coming to you, to be Mavater. That's what she told them they should teach. They were like, Nidham. They called me up before 8 o'clock. They called me up to tell me this is what she said. So my point is, Rabbi Sol Salanta, if you go through his forum, he doesn't use the word subconscious, but he certainly, absolutely, there's no question in my mind that Rabbi Sol Salanta also opened up the world of the subconscious. And I think if I can tandem with Freud, they lived around the same time. I hold the HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent this Shefa of, this is like my personal theory, please don't tell it to anybody. I believe that Hashem sent this Shefa of Chochmah into the world, and to the Goyim, they got it through Freud, and it was, of course, like everything else, made crooked by his crazy theories that they now know he made up and he had no basis for them and he fabricated. This is well known. I'm not darshaning against him. It's well known. It's documented that he made up stories and his data was totally biased and based on nothing. He made up things. Okay, but he opened up the world of the subconscious. And so he did that for the Goyim. And there's no question about Rabbi Sol Salanta did the same thing for him. If you read Rabbi Sol Salanta's Svarim, he didn't write many Svarim. His Talmidim wrote a lot of Svarim. But if you read his Svarim, they really, that's what they talk about. That a person has inner motivations, inner feelings that he's not aware of. And he said, he didn't say go to a shrink like I'm saying. He said learn Musar. When you learn Musar, you'll become contemplative, you'll become introspective, and he held that you will then be able to plumb the depths of what's going on inside of you. That's what he held Limud Musar is. Now, he's probably right, but people don't know what to do. People don't know what to do. You say learn Musar, they don't know what to do. They're afraid to be with themselves. I used to make fun of it in America, right? You go into a car, you turn on the radio. People are many times, people are afraid to be with their thoughts alone. People are afraid to think. They're afraid. They're afraid what they'll think about. And they'll have to think about themselves and their lives and the way they act and the, you know, what's, they're afraid. So we put on the radio, we put on the tape recorder. We want to have noise. It's very important to have noise. But on Shabbos we daven menuchas hashkeit vavetach. Hashkeit. It should be quiet. You don't always have to be bombarded by noise. Next time you go in a car, you go for a walk, don't take the walkman with you or the talkman or whatever. Think. Don't be afraid to be alone with your thoughts. And if you are afraid to be alone with your thoughts, then there's something wrong. You need a tune-up. Anyway, all of this is from the Chavis HaLodah saying Tikkun HaMidos. That there's a hishtadlus. He's talking about hishtadlus. That's what's funny. He puts it on the list of things that really are a no-brainer to have bitachon about. So I'm explaining that he means your basic personality, who you are, what you like, personality traits. Have bitachon that this is the right thing for you. But then he's talking about hishtadlus, right? Because he's comparing it to life and to food and to parnosa and to clothing. So you should have... You should do your hishtadlus to straighten it out. So what's the hishtadlus? So either limud musar or go for a tune-up. The problem is every mental health professional that I know is nuts. I don't know any normal ones. You know one?
No, I have a question. I'm a mental health professional.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't know. Who are you?
Oh, please Abel.
Excuse me. What?
Sharon Abel.
Okay, how
crazy.
No, Sharon, what?
Sharon Abela.
Oh, hello. So maybe I do know one now.
But the thing is that everybody's crazy.
Yeah, well, that's Anachanami.
Rebbe Avraham.
Well, that's what I said, everybody could use a tune-up.
Right.
So can Rebbe Avraham Twersky.
What?
Rebbe Twersky. Twersky.
Yeah, okay. Anachanami. Actually, there's a Greenwald from Muncie. That's now living in Eretz Israel. He's an amazing person. I know him well. I just sent someone to him today.
That's usually him. You really have to find somebody that's good because there's so many out there.
Yeah.
But I do have another question.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to understand how the working on your midos thing is in the same category as the other stuff.
Because he's not talking about now when your midah becomes an aveira. That belongs in a different list with the spiritual things. He's talking here about...
What it means is that...
He's talking about your basic personality.
So what it means is that you're... What?
Let's say a person, they wish they were more bubbly. They wish they were more lively. And they,
so what kind of pshat?
No, so then you shouldn't. So I'm saying the pshat in the Chavis HaLodah is that when you see it affecting your life, that's when you should make your hishtadlus to change it.
And that hishtadlus is the same kind of hishtadlus that
you're going to open your store.
Parnasa.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm having trouble understanding is because with opening the store, you know that you're doing the hishtadlus because because that's what you're supposed to do because you to be yotze and to be involved in the world.
It's also dependent on other people.
But you're not you know that the outcome is the Kadosh Baruch Hu's decision and not because you opened the store.
No, same exact
thing.
But
when you do the hishtadlus to fix a certain midah or to That's almost like a kovid yeshan chutz miyoshan.
No, I'm not talking. Again, I'm not talking about that. It's at the avera stage, where you're koes or you do onos dvarim. You see, it makes you know it. Your home is tense. Your home is tense.
You need an improvement.
You're a nervous person. You're a nervous person. One is a nervous person. One is nervous.
Okay.
One is nervous. You know, my mother, Leah Shalom, when the phone rang, she would jump. Till she knew what the person was going to say, she was nervous about what that phone call was going to tell her. She had premonitions of disaster. Now, so, you know, should she change? Should she not? No, it's fine. But if it would have affected the way she brought us up, which I don't think it did, you know, you never know, but I don't think it did. She didn't like transmit that nervousness to her children. So for you, that's bitachon. So that's the way she is. But if it would have affected, So again, we're not talking about a midorah, we're not talking about an avera.
A good example is going to these chinuch banim classes. It's not because there's something wrong, but because you feel that you would like to improve.
Yeah, but that's okay. But he's talking about personality.
No, yeah, I'm just saying the hishta. So what I'm having trouble understanding is that my ability to improve to reduce my nervousness or improve my midos
is your hishta.
My children. That is not going to be dependent on my ishtadlus.
It is. It's like taking vitamins. It's the same ishtadlus as taking vitamins to be healthy.
But we're supposed to believe that the outcome has nothing to do with the ishtadlus. We're supposed to believe that. That's bitachon.
Well, that's the juggling. But that's the juggling that we're always making. That we do our ishtadlus, and we say, that Hashem wants us to do ishtadlus, and in tandem with that, Hashem is the one that's deciding whether our ishtadlus will be successful or not. It's not really our ishtadlus. That's the determining factor. It's really Hashem.
Right, so as if I open this door, if I don't open this door, I'm going to have the same parnasa. But it's hard for me to believe that if I...
No, I'm sorry. No. If you don't open the door, you will not have parnasa. If you don't, just like Chavilah said, if you don't pick up the water and take it and drink it, a person's going to die of thirst. Hashem demands proper hishtadlus. It's not just its mutter. Chavilah Halavis has been saying all along, he demands it. And it's not going to happen if you don't open the store. If a person doesn't open the store, they're going to starve to death. They're not going to have customers. They're not going to have money. You have to do your hishtadlus.
So what's the nekuda?
The nekuda is never believe that the hishtadlus is what's providing it. Mm-hmm. It's always Hashem's. The bitachon is that it's Hashem doing it. This is the most difficult part of bitachon is probably not having bitachon, but of juggling bitachon and hishtadlus. He's going to talk about that in the next few lines, that if you start believing in your hishtadlus, then it's no good. But if you don't do your hishtadlus, it's also no good. And to walk around with this mindset and be able to juggle, so if you're able to do it, a person will be the most calm, happy person in the world. Productive, happy, and calm. Because they're doing their ishtadlus, but they know it's not really their ishtadlus. So if they decide one day to take the kids to the park and not open their store, for example. So someone else will say, you can't not open your store one day because a customer comes to the store and he sees it's closed, he's never coming back. He's not going to come back. He came to the store, it was closed. And someone else will say, relax. It's not really opening the store that does it. It's really Hashem. It's okay. Your store can be closed one day. That's the difference between a person who believes it's the Hishtadlus doing it won't close one day to take a break, and a person who has Bitachon will close one day.
How does Siyata Deshmaya play into this?
I don't know how to answer the question. Siyata Deshmaya is part that Siyata Deshmaya is something that we. Bitachon is right that Hashem is taking care of us. I mean, it's almost part and parcel of Bitachon. I mean, whatever we do. Okay, I'm not. Siyata Deshmaya, the way you're using the term, I guess, and that's the way it is normally used, is that we want that extra help from Hashem. We want Hashem to do more than we deserve. We want that extra push. We need Siyata Deshmaya. My sister said to me tonight, I shouldn't say it, I'll give myself an eye in horror. She says, you know, I can't believe you moved here to Israel 10 years ago, and you're sitting, and you have 5 married children within 5 minutes of you. That's so nice. That's such siyata deshmaya. That's what she said. You had such siyata deshmaya. Now, I couldn't have said, at no point in my life could I have said, I have bitachon that I'm going to end up with 5 married children in Eretz Yisrael who are living within 5 minutes of me. By the way, I hate it. No, I'm just kidding.
Your wife
does it. My wife loves it. Oh, all the grilled children come over. It's so nice. I go, quiet. So that, right, I wouldn't have had bitachon. I would never have applied bitachon to that. I have bitachon that Hashem's gonna make that happen. Why should that be bitachon? Like, who says that's not like a, you know, bitachon that your life is gonna work out okay and that everything's gonna be good and that you'll be happy. But like, to be so specific, you know, that's tefillah, that's siyata d'shmaya. You would down for a special siyata d'shmaya, like that's beyond what I have a right to expect, right? It is, it really is. So yeah, I have a special siyata d'shmaya. That's the story of the Chafetz Chaim and my father. Everybody heard the story?
Yeah.
Oh, your husbands don't tell you over the drushes. I have a big taina now.
Like to hear it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I gave a whole drasha about Siyata Dishmaya 4 weeks ago.
The story of the Chafetz Chaim
is that my father, Olav HaShalom, went to the Chafetz Chaim for a bracha. That he went to the Chafetz Chaim for a bracha. And he was sitting in the room, and the guy before him comes out, and he's like, downcast. So my father said, what happened? He said, I asked the Chafetz Chaim for bracha, and all he would tell me was that you should have siyata d'shmaya. So my father said, like, what are you, that is the greatest bracha in the world. Like, what could be greater bracha than that? You see, because the guy said, you know, I asked the Chafetz Chaim for long life, and for children, and for nachas, and for this, and all he would say was, you should have siyata d'shmaya. So my father went in, so whenever the family got together, say the last 10 years of his life, he told the story over, and he said when he went in, he asked Chafetz Chaim for that bracha. He said, "Please give me a bracha that I should have siyata d'shmaya and whatever I do." And Chafetz Chaim gave him that bracha, and then we always said, and we saw its fulfillment, because we used to have a nickname for my father, Olav HaShalom. We used to call him Mr. Magoo.
Mm-hmm.
You know Mr. Magoo? My father would go through life and he would do things, and it's just, he would, you know, we would look on in horror. Like, he's not taking this into account. Mr. Magoo, he's like walking on the busy street, and he thinks he's in Yankee Stadium watching a ball game, and, you know, and it's just everything's going on around him, and he's just like walking through, and everything's missing him, and he's mm-hmm. like the cars are stopping short and crashing. He's just like going through, you know, minding his own business. And so, Baruch Hashem. Did anybody here watch Mr. Magoo cartoon? No, you don't even know what I'm talking about.
He was so not aware.
Right.
That was the point
of the cartoon. There was,
that's why the mushroom was so suitable. But
that was the point. And we saw that in my father's life, because my father was a European in America. And he would do things, and he would try to accomplish things and do things and, you know, make a shul and talk to people, and like, we would, like, we're American kids, you know, we grew up, you know, with baseball, we were very, very American, and we would, like, cringe, like, you know, you don't do that, Tati, you don't do that, he did Siyata D'shmaya his whole life.
He didn't acknowledge the problems.
Right, so we feel the answer. So anyway, so Siyata D'shmaya is that extra, like what my sister said today, B'li Ayin Hara. That's Siyata D'shmaya. That's beyond bitachon. That's beyond what you have a right to expect or to.
But you don't even know to ask it.
Well, what I said in my drasha was that you should be aware that whatever you do, you need Siyata D'shmaya. You can't do it on your own. Even Hakol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz Miyira Shemayim, but you have to ask. You should ask for Siyata D'shmaya, because you don't know what friends you're going to meet up with. There's so much out there. There's so many possibilities. The right school, the right friends, the right remark, the right rav, the right shul. Really, and there's so much out there. And you just, no matter what, it's true, HaKol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz Miyira Shemayim, but that's also, that's not the whole story. You have to ask for Siyata D'shmaya, that you're Hishtadlus of Yira Shemayim. You know, you send your kids to a school. You know, who are their friends going to be? You know, these schools, they try to insulate. You know, they try to... if any fool thinks that the incidence of kids with issues are any less in these ridiculous mafia schools that only take in certain kids from certain homes, they push it. They don't know. It's not reality. The reality is that there's just as many problems, and that's why the whole thing is such a shtus. It's so ridiculous, because there's no. You need to get to the Shmaya. You need to get to the Shmaya. Who you? I've said many times publicly. I hope I'll say it again. I have tremendous get to the Shmaya in my life. I met up with this friend that was here for the wedding. I introduced him to everybody, Bashal Shudis, the guy that spoke, he may be here, Shlomo Samson. He was my mentor at very formative years, between the ages of 18 and 22. So I thought I knew it all at 18. Like, I was finished learning, right? I know it all. I'm Mr. Wise Guy, Mr. Know-It-All. I'm smart, you know, have the world at my fingertips. And I met this guy that attained me, and really was my chavrusa. We learned the whole day for many years, and we learned everything together: Musar, Halacha, Gemara, and you know. So how did he fall into my life? That's Siyata Deshmaya. What is that? I didn't even know. I didn't even. I couldn't have davened for it. I wouldn't have known to ask for it. So that's why I said the Chafetz Chaim's bracha filtered down to me. That's all. So Siyata Deshmaya is are those kind of things. You should ask for it in everything you do. Even everything you do. What I said in the drasha was, I said over from Bnei Yisrael that what they, you know, they rejected a certain Siyata Deshmaya at Har Sinai when Hashem offered to always be like there and help them in their year of Shemayim. They should always be on the level of the revelation at Har Sinai. So they rejected, you know, we'll do it on our own. We want to work on our own. It's like Adam Arishon. You know, we all, everybody here learns about Adam Arishon, says, I want to do it on my own. I want to have Bechira. I want to have a more intense Bechira. I want to have the Yetzihara. I want to, you know, I want to do it on my own. I can do it on my own. There's a certain arrogance there. And Siyata Deshmaya, you should always have the recognition that no matter what you do, you need Siyata Deshmaya. If you want to always hum the song of the Miami Boys Choir, that'll work. Right? Except by my daughter's wedding, so my Mechutin, right? Mermelstein. So his father was Reptuvia Goldstein. Anybody here hear of Reptuvia Goldstein in America? So he held, you're not allowed to write Siyata Deshmaya on a document either. He held this like Seamus. So he wouldn't let us write on the invitation Siyata Deshmaya. That bothered us very much. We wanted to say Siyata Deshmaya. We wanted to ask Hashem. But Shalom is more important than anything else. That's another Yisod. So we didn't write Siyata Deshmaya. So if you ever get hold of my daughters, my other daughters, my older daughters, Chasan invitation, doesn't say B'Siyata Deshmaya on it. Okay? So the lesson is that for the sake of peace, you give up everything. Right? That's what we learned from Korach. Machlokas is the most destructive thing in the world. Almost anything is pales and takes second fiddle to Shalom. Just go along. Okay, whoa, we didn't get off on a tangent here. But again, it's like two words that don't fit on the list, and it really teaches us a lot. And the Chavis Olbova says, you have to juggle this. He really says everything we just said. You have to juggle this with the knowledge that it's not really the Hishtadlus that's doing it, but the Gzeiros Hashem. But just like a Balasodna has to plow his field and to take out the thorns and to clean it up and to plant the seeds and to water it, and then he has to be Boteach Hashem, that Hashem is going to make it all come together and happen. Right? So, but if he would not plant and not do everything, no one works harder than a farmer. Right? Farmer's work is never done. Right? So, Mitov Bitochon, Al Gzeiros Hashem, that the land is going to grow and he's not going to plant it, or anything, if you're not going to open your store, And you have bitachon that Hashem's going to send me parnasa umezamnelo. That's wrong, wrong, wrong. He's doing an avera. Hashem wants the person to do the hishtadlus. Just that al yachshov, and this is so hard. This is the hardest thing. This is harder than having bitachon. No question about it. Al yachshov ki asiba toelo. It's not the siba that's doing it. You want to know a practical difference? I told you one. Tell the person to close the store one day and take a vacation. The person who believes it's the Siba doing it won't be able to do it. They'll say, but. What do I do if a customer comes? I'm not going to have the money of today. And the customer will never come back. Will never come back. And the person with Pitachan will say, just only close one day, Maharaj.
Does this also apply, though, when it comes to working on bad makeup? That it's not, that you're supposed to believe that it's not what you did that changed the...
Well,
like doing tshuva, you know.
Anything you do, you should realize that you need Hashem's help for.
Right.
Because there could be so many. But I wouldn't call it ishtadlus. When we're talking about, we're going to learn that. That's on the list. When it comes to spiritual things, Hashem places it more on you. You have mm-hmm. to. You actually do. Except you have to realize that you still need Hashem's help. But it's the pendulum of bitachon goes down to almost zero when it comes to ruchniyustika things.
Because it's not like you can say, well, today I'm not going to work on myself. Because it's all going to be different. It's different. It's different when it comes to...
Actually, I had... Yeah. Yeah, so that's... We'll see. As we get to ruchniyus, it will become less and less bitachon.
So gashmis, we're talking more about
gashmis. He still... We didn't get past yet the first thing on the list, which is your basic needs. Gashmis, your basic needs in gashmis. Okay, I had a friend... a guy I used to be with in America. See, I just met him in Israel after 10 years, 20 years. Anyway, he had the idea he wants to open up a coffee shop in Manhattan. He wants to open up coffee shops. I said, you're going into competition with Starbucks? He says, yeah. He's going to do a better Starbucks. But so then he wanted to know Shabbos. Also, he wanted to know that, you know, that a goy should own it on Shabbos. But not fake. Like, really, he would let the guy keep all the profits of Shabbos. You know, there's a fake way of doing it, which is very problematic. But there's a real way to do it. That, you know, in other words, he's ready if the store makes $1 million on Shabbos, the guy can keep $1 million. He has no problem there. He's a firm guy. So I said, so if you're so firm, why don't you just close on Shabbos? Just close. He says, you don't know what a coffee shop is in Manhattan. If it has to be open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, guy wants a cup of coffee, he wants to relax, he has to be able to come there. If he finds it closed, he's never going to come back. That's what he told me. Okay. What do I know? Maybe it's true about coffee shops. It could be true.
Maybe it's true about Manhattan.
Good dream. We all live in Eretz Israel. You like half expect the store to be closed. No matter what time you go. You know, it's like Russian roulette. The store might be open, it might be closed. Like, you're ready, I don't know about you, like, you're ready lechatchila for that. The store just might be closed, you know.